question. I just wanted to share. Today's word for today. I don't know how many of you have read it, but it really resonated with me. And I've been thinking over this last weekend and these last few days, and even tonight, as people have come in and are totally disillusioned with the world's help or non-help, and the just lack of resources, and it's word for today is about thinking higher thoughts, and He is the total source of our help. It doesn't matter what you need, is Jesus has the answer. He wants to supply your need, be it financial, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, whatever it is. He is your total source of supply. And it's headed, Think Right, Live Right. And it's about this fanatic in the attic that causes us all the problems. And it says, and it starts, somebody has wisely said, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. And a lasting change begins with new thinking. That's how we became Christians, by repenting, by changing the way that we think and coming to Christ as our Lord and Saviour. And I just like this section of it. We're not changed by willpower, but by the transforming power of God's Word. When we use God's Word, it renews our minds each day. The Bible clearly teaches that the way we think determines the way that we feel. As a man thinks, so is he. That's what Proverbs says. So if you want to change your actions, you have to return to the source and change the way you think. And it says later on, it's no good removing negative thoughts because you'll leave a vacuum into which they can return. You have to replace those negative thoughts with God's thoughts. And I can confidently say tonight that if we will choose to think God's thoughts, then we have got the answer and the total source of supply for everything that we need. And Andrew, I think the Holy Spirit's been challenging us with this in various different ways over the past few weeks. Every sermon has been about who you are. It's time to live to the level of what God says we are, and not what your mind says you are or what the world says you are. And Michelle just, which Andrew spoke on just a minute ago, about if you look to the world, I can't remember what it is, but you'll be depressed. And Bev came in just totally frustrated with the world system. And Michelle comes in totally frustrated again with the medical system and the inadequacy and the lack of help and advice and assistance. And it's just like, hey, we live in a broken world. A world that never did have the answers, but even more so now, has less idea. You get into so many people, speak to so many people. We've been trying to sort some vaccinations out for Burundi. And what a challenge. Well, go on the internet and find out. Well, all right, it says I need this, 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 this and this. But do I really need this? there's conflicting advice. One site says, well, if you're over 60, you don't need that. Another site says, well, once you've had that once, it lasts you for your life. Yet my certificate says it expires in 10 years. Who do I believe? And you get to the medical people and they say, oh, well, it'll be 2 weeks before you can talk to anybody. And then you can't talk to a doctor, you can only talk to a nurse. And if she doesn't know, well, tough, you'll have to wait a bit longer. And it's just so frustrating, isn't it? Beth's been hanging on the phone an hour and a half tonight trying to get through to the doctor. You know? He's there. The minute we ask, in fact, before you call, I will answer. God has made the provision before you even ask him. He knows what you need and when you need it. And I was sort of, I won't get in what stress, but I was thinking, oh, it's every time you go abroad, it's trying to some of these strange countries that you need this, 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 and this. And it just throws up wobblers all the time, and it's usually the same. And then I suddenly thought about it, and I thought, God's my source of supply. And I've been reading about Smith Wigglesworth's life. And, you know, it says, if God says it, I believe it, that settles it. It's done. Can it be more simple than that? Why do we complicate it? Because we're too focused on what's going on around us. Sunday, Andrew spoke on not rely on your peripheral vision. Not what's going on around you, but be fixated. Yeah, with what is important of where you're going. Keep the thing, your target. Be fixated on the target. Yeah, if you don't, you'll go off course and you'll end up in a mess, you'll end up in a ditch or worse. And that was a really big lesson to me. I thought, it is so true. We get distracted by how we feel, who said this, and what so-and-so's opinion is, and somebody snubbed me today, and, you know, they didn't talk to me this week, or I didn't get a hug from so-and-so. And, you know, we get so picky, and we let little things get to us. And sometimes, yeah, and a lot of the bigger things too, but I was just feeling God was saying, I went to Colossians 3, as Andrew said, you know, read Colossians 3, and it starts with, keep your mind on things which are above and not on the earth. In other words, stop looking around you for your help. Look up. It's already been taken care of. The provision has been made. You just need to renew this and start to believe it. And I've quit fighting now with the devil on sickness and disease. I've come to this conclusion. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. No contest, devil. You cannot contest the word of God. That's how Jesus overcame him, and that's how we overcome him. It is written. But you've got to know that you know that you know. Because if there's any doubt, it's like when some people come to our house and they don't like dogs. That dog knows straight away and he makes a beeline for them. And he won't let go because he senses, he smells the fear in them. And it's just the same with the devil. If he senses fear in you, he will hound you and give you a hard time. But let me tell you, you can truly, truly rest on the word of God. If it doesn't look like it's happening, don't be moved. What did we learn on Sunday? Jesus in the boat. Jesus had said, we are going to the other side. And immediately you make that decision, I am relying on Jesus. Jesus said, I am the healed and I am the healed. I'm a son of God. I'm a co-heir with Christ. If he's not sick, so how can I be sick? Christ is in me and I am in Christ and Christ is in God. Are they sick? Jesus sick? God sick? How can I be sick if I'm in him? We need to just go through all these scriptures and start to meditate them and get them right into our spirits, because otherwise the devil's going to have a field day with us more and more and more as the system gets worse. We need to know that Jesus is the answer. And with them, they said they were going to the other side, and the devil kicked up a storm. And that's what he'll do with you. He will do anything. He'll make your symptoms worse. He'll make you feel awful. But does that change what God said? No. He is the truth. His word is the truth. And if we will focus and know, meditate the truth, the truth will set us free. So it's a battle of, are you going to give way first, or is the devil going to give way first? Well, if you read Smith Wigglesworth, the devil's finished. So he's no opposition. It's how we think that's the problem. And in this, it's Romans chapter 12, isn't it? Be ye renewed, and I believe that says transformed, and as we heard on Sunday, transformed means transfigured, just oozing with the brightness and the glory of God, and his presence in us needs to flood through us so that we're ready not just to stand for our own needs, but to stand with others and intercede and to pray with others. And if somebody comes in and they're all on a sweat and in a panic and things are not looking right, or You know things are not right. If it's the devil, if you're speaking negative, it's not God. If you're ticked off and you're speaking negative about some situation, it's not God. If you're afraid, it's not God. If you're troubled, it's not God. If you're irritated, it's not God. If you've no peace, it's not God. That's the measure, isn't it? It's not about how we feel, but we need to know how we feel to know where it's coming from. God will only lift us up. We are seated with him in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. That's where we're sons of God. We're daughters of God. We rule. The devil doesn't rule. The system doesn't rule. The government doesn't rule. Christ rules, and we're in him and he's in us. We're his Jesuses on the earth. And we need to be to the unbeliever what Jesus was to the unbeliever. And I really am convinced, Daniel, I think, started it all off with about shining as stars. You know, God wants us to shine, shine, shine. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Woo! The glory's in us. You know, we have to burst this vessel. Let this thing crack up and let the light shine out and let the glory be seen. Jesus said, we are going to the other side. And to the other side they were going. But the devil immediately rose up and challenged it. And he'll do the same with you. When you make your decision, this is what God says. This is the end of it. No contest. I'll guarantee the devil will challenge. But he's a defeated foe. He's finished. He's finished. And we need to renew this and get it settled here so that it settles down in here. And we know that we have the victory. You know, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they would not bow down. They said, we're not afraid of our future. Whether we live or die, we're standing for the truth and for righteousness. And it was the soldiers, some of them got burned, throwing them in the fiery furnace. But all that got burned with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego was their bondages. And you know, it doesn't hurt us. Well, we always have to go through challenges because that proves your mettle. That makes you strong. If you never had a challenge, you'd be falling over like a wimp, wouldn't you? Like one of these plants that's not had any water and it's keeled over, or as Andrew was talking about, the ones he put in the airing cupboard, and when he fetched them out, I don't know how long, and they got no strength. You know, we need the challenge, because the challenge makes us strong. The battle makes a man or a woman of you, a woman of God. And when you come out and you've won and you're still saying yes, 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 then the devil's lost it. And he does not want that to happen. But God has ordained that he is with you. There was a fourth man with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. The Spirit of God, the Son of God was in there with them and is with you. And he will answer and supply your need. Don't be afraid. Don't let any negatives in. Don't. Renew your mind. Replace every negative thought with a positive one from the Word of God. You know, for some of you, if you've got issues, if you're afraid, well, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but he's given me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. And you know, we need to focus on these scriptures and know them so that we're ready straight away. And don't be moved from it. Don't be moved because of what's happening around you. Be fixated on the Word of God. Don't be shifted from it. No matter what's going off, stand. And having done everything, stand. Praise God. And he rewards that type of faith. I just felt we need encouraging. And I know it did me a power of good. So, praise God.
1 Peter chapter 2. Says this, that you are a chosen people. Wow. You've been handpicked.
Yeah.
By the hand of God. Whoa. This is what it really means. You're a chosen people. You've been handpicked by the hand of God.
Amen.
To make you actually a royal priesthood.
Yeah.
And a holy nation.
Yeah.
A people for God's own possession, for God's pleasure.
Amen.
That you, each and every one of you, may proclaim the excellency of Him, God, who has called you out of darkness.
Amen.
Into His marvelous light.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, the world is living in darkness. It's living in fear is darkness.
Yeah.
Fear brings darkness. It brings depression, oppression. So many people are living in fear. They're talking about, on the news as we were coming, in the end I turned it off, I'd had enough, about the mental health state of the nation. And it's like, well, if you got back to God, It won't be there. Mind you, having said that, then, you know, they think we're nuts anyway. Glory to Jesus. Now stay a nut. Yeah, the word says, are you a fool for Christ? I'm a fool for Christ, yeah. And but I live in peace.
Amen.
Because the Prince of Peace, the word says the Prince of Peace resides in us. I remember once having some pills for my back, and they dealt with the pain and began to sort the inflammation out, but they didn't tell me they were addictive until one day I missed one in the morning. I got up that morning, I felt absolutely fantastic. I felt great. You know, Grace had been going to work, coming home, and Grace had had to vacuum clean. She'd had to literally help me to the bathroom, toilet. I was in a mess. I was crawling. I didn't shave for 12 weeks. I couldn't be bothered. You know? And these pills began to have that effect of my health began to, the pain was being dealt with, the inflammation. And one day I woke up one morning, one Saturday morning, feeling absolutely fantastic. I thought, I need to help Grace. I'll vacuum through the house. I thought, not a problem, is it? You know, and I did. I vacuumed. I felt absolutely super great. Got so busy in that day. Later on in that afternoon, I started getting flu symptoms. Runny nose. Thumping head. And I thought, no, flu on top of this as well. You know, I've had enough. I'd had food poisoning a few weeks before. And I'm thinking, I've had enough. You know, and then Grace came, she says, do you know something? I think we missed one of your pills this morning. Yeah, we had. And within a few hours, I was coming off. I was beginning to rattle. Because I was on such a high dosage. And I'm like, right, that does it. This was a Saturday. Monday morning, I'm on the phone to the doctor. I need to get off these pills. You know, I want to be off them. Can I just stop taking them? Oh, no, don't do that. We've got to bring you down steady. Well, I tell you what, I think that was in September. I was determined before Christmas I was off them. And got off them. But they don't tell you some of these things. You know, you're in desperate need. But let me tell you this, when you get addicted to Jesus... You know, I was supposed to have an operation. I had two appointments in Doncaster Hospital. I turned both of them down. I said, no, I'm going to believe Jesus. I'm going to believe Jesus to do a work in me. And I thank God I have no back pain.
Amen.
But I know people who've had the operation and have got pain in the back, pins and needles in the feet, all sorts of strange things, and they have to go sometimes back in for another operation to deal with the scar tissue that has been caused. And it's like, there's no scar tissue with Dr. Jesus. Right? And we need to press into this anointed power that is available for the children of God. And when the devil tries to put things on us, it's like, hey, you can try, but it's not staying. It's not staying. And we have to begin to press through. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 says, therefore, gird up your minds for action. Get your mind sorted out for action. You've got the Prince of Peace living in your life.
Yeah.
He's resident there. You've got the Holy Spirit in your life.
Amen.
He's resident there.
Amen.
You need to have the Word of God resident within your life.
Yeah.
And then it says, you can gird up your mind. In other words, you can have a sound mind when everything is going pear-shaped. When everything appears to be going belly up.
Yeah.
And everybody's going, oh, see, I told you that was going to happen. Do you know? And you're like, yeah, you warmongers and bringers of despair. You know, they love to bring it in, don't they? You know, oh, see, I told you so, didn't I? You know, and they're bringing it. And they're going to leave it in your house. They're going to leave it at your doorstep. It's like, not having it here.
No.
Not having it here. It's not, don't belong to me. It's got your name on it. No, it hasn't. My name's changed.
Amen.
I got a new name.
New creation.
Yeah, new creation. Brand new man, woman, you know, set free. God's delivered me, healed me. I'm moving into that. You see, the work is done. Now we need to be moving into it.
Yeah.
Right? Don't let the world keep reminding you to got to come back.
No,
turning back.
No.
No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back.
Yeah.
And we need to be pressing in and moving forward into that. Yeah, they might get some bumps in the road. Bless him, Peter. He had a few along his way, didn't he? you know, got out of the boat and started to sink after a while. But then Jesus got hold of them and they walked back to the boat. You know, Peter there, he is saying, "Lord, no, I will never deny you. I'll never leave you. They'll not faze me, Lord. I'm going all the way." And this little 16-year-old, if she were that, said to him, "You're one of his disciples, weren't you? And it worked there. Who do you?" And there he is, he's blaspheming and all sorts. Denying everything. And then Jesus meets some disciples and says, "Tell my disciples and Peter." Hallelujah. He knows your name. He knows your name, and he knows you'll have bumps in the road. He knows you'll have challenges to face. He knows that at times you may fall down. He says, but the Lord gets hold of you, picks you up, dusts you off, and says, "Come on, let's do it again." What father don't do that to his normal children? How much more should your heavenly Father do that? That when you tumble and fall, he comes and picks you up, kisses your knees and says, "Come on, it'll be all right. Well, let's move on." You do it with your toddlers, don't you? You kiss it better. And when you get kissed by God, you've been kissed, mate. Hallelujah. You've been kissed. Hallelujah. And that's what God wants you to realize. God wants you to realize there is an intimacy that you and he can have together. Just read the book of Solomon. One day I'll preach on that one. Hallelujah. That's about God. It's about Jesus. That's about Jesus getting his bride, and he's actually taking her to bed. Because they're going to bring forth new life. It says in Solomon about the bed, it says the bed is green. The sheets are green. Green is the symbol of new life, the colour for new life. Hallelujah. There's new life. And when you come to Christ, there's new life in Christ Jesus for you and for me.
Amen.
As we press in. You are a chosen people. You're a chosen race, a royal people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people unto God. That you may proclaim the excellency of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The half has not yet been told. Do you know that? We have got to get ourselves moving forward and growing in God. And you know, when your mind starts having a go at you, tell it to shut up. Tell the fanatic in the attic to be quiet and listen to the Spirit, the fellow in the cellar, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and speak out. You see, this is what brings peace. You see that no matter where you go shopping, and what do you hear? There's some music blurting out, isn't there? There's times when we've gone shopping, we've walked into a shop and it's been that loud that literally I've got through the doors and done about 3 or 4 paces and turned around and started walking out. Somebody said, "Can I help you, sir?" I said, "I ain't turned music down." I said, "I can't shop with that noise." And I just walk out. I've been for meals. I remember one time there were a group of us went for a meal. Music's that loud, we're having to shout at one another. So I said to the staff, "Can you turn music down a bit?" "You can't do that, can you? You can't ask them to turn music down. What about?" Anyway, I asked him 3 or 4 times. It hadn't got turned down, they were still looking for a key. So I thought, right, you're going to better be quick. We'd already ordered his meal, but it hadn't arrived on the table. I said to him, "If it's not turned down in the next 2 minutes, we, I think there are about 12 of us, are all leaving." Oh, it went down. Went down. You see, we just take it. You know, that's how it is, isn't it? No, it isn't. That's how they want it to be, but that's not how I'm accepting it. God has given us authority.
Amen.
I once told my bank manager off. Told him he charged me too much money from the account. Come in and we'll talk. I says, no way. I said, the moment I come in, I'm going to pay another 50 odd quid to you. I said, you think I'm daft or what? I said, you're just a set of licensed robbers. No, come in, I won't charge you. I said, no, you won't, because I'm moving my account. I'm going somewhere else. I once told one of them, I said, your wages. I said, I'm paying your wages. He gets his money from the interest off my account. I'm paying his wages. You're here to serve me, not me to serve you, mate. You see, we get it the wrong way round. And we carry that through. And when the devil comes, we start thinking the devil's in control of everything that's going on. And it's like, excuse me, God has told me I'm in control. You're in control. Because that's what the Word of God says. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 says, I give you all power and all authority in my name, the name of the Lord Jesus. Trouble is, we're afraid to take up the authority. Oh, if I take that authority, what will the devil do to me? Nothing. He has no power. It was taken from him. The only time he has power is when you surrender to him. When he bluffs you into surrender. You know, when he threatens and blusters away at you. And God's saying, read my word. Stand on my promises. Be a royal priesthood. Be a holy nation. Gird your minds. Set your minds. Get ready for the battle. And the battle belongs to the Lord. All you've got to do is stand there. Ephesians says, and having done everything, stand. And then it says, stand. You know, God said it twice. He told us twice. Stand. And we need to stand. We need to stand on the promises of this word. We need to stand on the truth of this word. And therefore, gird your minds for action.
Yeah.
Are you ready? Gird your minds for action. Don't say gird your minds and just sit there peacefully and quietly and, you know, numb, stum, dumb. Yeah. There's some people, do you remember, some of us remember that song, Que sera, 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 whatever will be, you know. It's like, really? Don't you two remember it? Aye. Yeah, there you go. Well, she made it famous. Yeah, she did. Yeah. There you go. You see, I'm not as old as what you thought. I missed that. I'll just let that one pass over. And that's what people get like. You know, you can't change it, you know. That's always been like that. It'll never change. You know, we've had to put up with this for years and it'll just carry on like it is and there's nothing you can do about it. Really? That's what people say. Yeah, they do. This is how it's done. Why? Because we've always done it that way. Yeah, but that don't mean it's right. Don't mean it's the best way. I remember a job as an apprentice. They always used to give apprentice worse jobs. I remember they gave me this job and I set about it. And they'd always done it this way. And so the last apprentice taught the new apprentice exactly the same way. Well, this thing was dangerous. And I did it once that way, and of course everybody's complaining because you're damaging all the tools and you're busting everything up and they're complaining about that, you know, And at the same time, for me, I thought, well, it's a dangerous practice, this. So next time round, when this job came up, I came up with an idea. I did it safer. I did it quicker. And I did less damage to equipment, tools and that. And do you know what our boss did for me? He marked me down. I don't care. Because I didn't do it the way they wanted it doing. But I did it the way it worked. You know. And so, you know, what we've got to do is realize we need to be following the mind of God. We need to be listening to the Spirit. And we need to be courageous enough to say, we're going to do this. I mean, we came in here in a different way. And I mean, we came into this building, and we didn't pay the prices that everybody said we'd have to pay. We came in here under the promise. We came in here under the word of the Lord. We came in here having heard God speak to us 25 years ago. And we're still hanging on to it. Well, I haven't got time to wait that long, will I? Well, you might have to do. Children of Israel ended up waiting 40 years to get into the promised land because they were stiff-necked and stubborn. And rebellious. You see, don't get rebellious. Don't get stiff-necked. Be ready to move with the Spirit. You know, begin to be hungering and thirsting for the things of God. You see? You see, God wants to flow a power through you. But, well, I've never done it that way before. Well, that's great, isn't it? It's an adventure. You know? We're off to Burundi. I've never been before. I really don't know anything about the place. They tell me it's a big conference, and I'm thinking, how big's big? I have no idea. You know, they're going to send me details. I haven't had any details yet. It's the African way, I know. It could come when it could arrive when I get there. I mean, I remember when we went to Rwanda. They took us to the church that they were building. It weren't finished. The grounds outside, it was like a building site. Sunday morning we arrived, and the place has got about 2,500 people in it. And do you know what my dear wife said to me? I'm glad you're preaching. And not me. Thank you, dear. And then we went to another one. Then we got to another one a few days later, didn't we? And in that area, they were having power issues. And it's night time. And it's as black as Ace of Spades. Right? It's a bit out in sticks slightly. And they're having power problems. And the church has got a generator. But we're having problems with our generator. Lovely. Yeah. What had happened before we left... in the business, we got a load of key rings with lights in them. So I thought, that'd be great, you know, to take across. And so we just, actually, before we started the meeting, I gave all these key rings out, not knowing we had a power issue. The power went out. I said, just get your key rings. So all these lights came on, you know, it's like... And then, of course, the grace says to me, I'm glad you were preaching tonight, not me. I thought, thanks, you know. Notes? What do you mean you need notes? If you've got notes, you can't see them. There's no good, are there? You need the Spirit. And it's the Spirit of the living God that needs to be flowing through us. It's the Spirit of the living God that changes people's lives. It changes people's destiny. It's the Spirit of God that brings comfort and peace. It's the Word of God and the Spirit working together that brings life, and that more abundantly. You see, just a few days ago, my sister Pauline calls me and said, the doctor's rung me. Yeah? About me dad. Yeah. Doctor says she thinks his body's riddled with cancer. Right. Well, they're supposed to be doing a scan on him. Have they done it? No. The doctor says, what do we want them to do? Do we want them to do a scan or just send him home? I says, I don't want to be sat there wondering what's going off, because I don't know how to pray, do I? So I said, we need a scan. So finally, eventually, they give him a scan. Do you know what happened? Came back negative. You see, the devil, oh, your dad's dying of cancer. And you start confessing that. And you begin to give it life. You give it life. Because life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's what the Word of God says. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. In other words, what you say is very important. So what you think, what you allow into your soulish man, is also very important. Because so often you end up speaking out of your mind instead of speaking out of the Spirit. And I know some folks say, well, I'm not sure yet whether I'm really hearing God or not. Well, let me tell you this. Stick around long enough. Get involved. Rub against us. You'll start hearing God. I mean that. That's how it works. Corporate body flowing, working together. Begin to hear God together. Fix your hope completely. Oh, hallelujah. We have hope. It's not just a, well, it might happen. Could happen. No. When it says hope, it means of a surety. Because the Bible says we have a sure and certain hope. It's not just a hope, well, that like the world uses. Well, I hope that's going to happen. I hope I get this. I hope I win the lottery. Whatever. Hope, you know. And there's nothing about it. It's just a term, a phrase. But when the Word of God uses hope, there is a certainty with it. You know, David says in one of the Psalms, he looks at his soul, he says, soul, why art thou cast down? Hope thou in God. Even David in the Old Testament knew that if he hoped in God, everything was going to be fine. Don't need to be cast down. Don't need the pills. Glory to God. Don't need the sedatives. Just need the Spirit of God. He'll lift you. He'll stabilize you. He'll set you. He'll set your feet on the rock, Christ Jesus. You are supposed to be set people. You are supposed to be set people. Set on the Word, Christ. And as we are set on that Word, Christ, and all that He is, and all that He's done, we have victory. We have peace. And we can trust Him in every circumstance and every situation. Because the Prince of Peace rules and reigns in our lives. And so we have to fix our hope completely on the grace to be brought to you. At the revelation of Jesus Christ. This peace only comes through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Knowing Him, whom to know is life eternal. Knowing Him, the author and finisher of our faith. And it's all about knowing Him. Knowing Him. And the only way you get to know Him is when you start reading the Bible. Because the Bible is all about Him. It's all about Him. If you want to know what God's like, if you want to know what Jesus is like, read the Bible. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Well, He don't talk back, He does, if you shut up and listen as well. Some people just talk and put a shopping list before God. And then say, I've got to go. And off they go. And God's like, I got you the answer, but you've gone without it. You've left the answer. It was there. You know, we ask amiss, Scripture says at times. Sometimes that's what it's so often that's what it's like. You know, we think people come to church and they think, oh, it's just a supermarket, isn't it? A form of supermarket. Come to church, get the blessing that they want and go away. It don't last long like that. It's about being fixed. Having your minds girded for actions. Having your minds fixed on God. If you don't have your mind fixed on God, then I'll tell you what, the world around you will catch you. Because all the time it's trying to get your attention. All the time. All the time. The adverts on TV. I thank God for these recorders. You know, you can watch something without it. Adverts. 32 speed jump. It's great. Absolutely great. Thank God for that invention. Amen. But you see, all those adverts, they spend all that money because they know they're going to get your attention. They're going to get you to buy something that you don't want. They're going to sell you something that you don't need. I mean, there's one washing up advert. Dishwasher advert. And if you use their dishwasher stuff, it's the equivalent of taking, you know, if everybody did that, it'd be the equivalent of taking 100,000 cars off the road. Wow. Well, everybody start buying their stuff, because then we'd get rid of all these stupid electric cars and what have you. Sorry about that, but, you know. If they just tell you anything to get you to buy it. They'll tell you sky's green if they need you to get you to buy something, to want you to believe it. Go to the Word of God. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. His Word doesn't change. Everything else around Him has to change to come in line with Him. Get your mind fixed on God's Word. Settle your mind to be at peace in God's Word. Don't be distracted by things around you. Focus on Him. Yes, I know there are things going on in your life. And I know at times we have challenges to face in our lives. But I tell you, with our hearts and our minds fixed on Him, He will take us through the maze of difficulties. He will take us through the challenges that we face each day. Because He said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, for lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. When we were in Egypt, well, we were in Egypt and Israel, and we'd got no money. God provided us accommodation for 10 days. We didn't have money for 10 days. Went to Egypt and got robbed, basically got ripped off. Didn't have a credit card in them days. They were relying on God. And he came through. 10 days provision in Israel. We'd gone for 3 weeks to Egypt. Dear Lord Jesus. I mean, the children of Israel lived there for 400 years. I tell you what, 10 days were enough for me. I'm ringing the airline company. Can you get me out of here? Can I get a flight out? Please, you know, I want to leave. No, they're into flight till yours is due on that day. You're joking. You know, everything's full. Please get me out. I'm going mad. Wait. So I made a decision. We're going to escape to Israel. And we did. I mean, we were in Cairo. It was every minute of every hour of every day, we were in the middle of a building site. They were digging new tunnels for the underground. And it was an absolute pit. It was. And then when we found a place that were a bit quieter, there were a pack of dogs all night howling and fighting one another. I'm like, I'm going to kill a dog. Honestly, I'm going to kill somebody. One night, we're asleep and all of a sudden, there's these pipping of horns. We're on the back side of the hotel and there's pipping of horns. There's two Egyptians that meet one another on a junction, on a corner. Nobody's going to back up. So they get out. Now they're railing at one another, arguing and shouting. So I get out on our balcony and I stand there and I look down at them. I says, for in the name of God, one of you get in your car and back up! They got in the car, backed up, and that were it. And he's like, what is wrong with these people? You know, I was at the point I really just kill somebody. You know. We arrive in Jerusalem Friday night, 6 o'clock, the beginning of Shabbat. The very center of Jerusalem, the bus station. We got out. You could have dropped a pin on the floor and heard it. I'm like, I've just landed in heaven. Sanity at last, you know. Total silence. Oh, thank God I've arrived, you know. That's what it felt like. And we had to spend 10 days there, and we'd only enough money for 3 days. God bring the provision. We trusted him. Didn't know how we were going to do it, but he did it. Then we had to go back to Egypt. Because we had a plane to catch. We got out of there. Hallelujah. So I don't know if anybody wants to stay for 400 years. And then when they get out, decide, I think we'll go back. No way. Focus on God. Trust God. Let your mind be fixed upon him, not on the challenges. Give your burdens to him. Lord, I've got this problem. I did it in industry. Honestly. There were things that I prayed about in industry that should not have worked, and they did. I used to think when I left the company, I wonder if they all went belly up after that. You know, the anointing came off and everything went
were a bit belly-ups with some of these jobs, and it's like, well, it worked when Andrew were here, but when does it work now? Well, Andrew's not here, because God's gone with him, you know. I'm not joking, I really mean it. There were some things that it's like, it shouldn't be working, but it is, hallelujah. But I prayed about some things, because I knew I was walking on that fine line. And we didn't have time to do anything else about it. And it was like, Andrew, you've got to come up with an answer. God, I need your help. This has got to work, God, please. You know, because I am desperate. I'm stuck and there's nobody else to help me. And it worked. There was nobody more shocked than me at the time. And as I said, when I left, I used to think, I wonder if that's still going or if it's gone wrong. I never went back to find out, actually. I thought, no way, thanks. Because I know that when I was there, and I used to take day release off, I knew I'd go away for that day, and they'd say, oh, it's going to be Black Wednesday, they used to call it. Why is it Black Wednesday? Because you're not here. You've gone to college again, haven't you? Yes. Well, everything goes wrong on Wednesday. Really? I didn't know that. Thursday, we're all fine. Because I came back. And so, you know, you carry an anointing. You're special. When you walk into a room, you should be the people who are blessing people. Because your presence carries an anointing. When you walk in, people go, whoa. Wow. Did you feel that? Presence of the Lord goes with us. That's what this is in the book. The presence of the Lord goes with you. That's glorious. That's glorious. So when you walk into a room, it lights up. Not because you're a celebrity. Because there is a presence and a power that resides in you. It's called the glory of God. You know, Moses said, unless you go with me, I ain't going. God said, oh, my presence will be with you. Hallelujah. God's presence is here tonight because He's in you. And you need to start reminding yourself when your chin drops, when you feel that pressure coming on you, turn to the Word. Start confessing things and, you know, seek out words and write them on little cards and stick them around the place. And when you're feeling a bit, you know, I can't do this, I can't. And you don't feel strong enough even to open your Bible. It's on the wall. It's on the mirror. It's on that mirror. It's on that picture frame. And you just read it. Boom. And immediately there's a charge. And a boost of life. From the Word of God. Hallelujah. My presence shall go with you. Praise His name. Bless the Lord.